through 3.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. You see, elections come and again elections go, but we have a Constitution that is the foundation of this nation, a Constitution which separates our form of government from all other forms of government. The difficulty is that a small group of subversive plotters have actually taken control of our government and made mockery of our Constitution. Of course, this would be best epitomized by the Trilateral Commission. And as I pointed out before, and you can check it, augustreview.org, between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission that's never had more than 87 members in all of North America, and that includes both Canada and Mexico. It's not simply by accident that certainly 6 of the 8 World Trade Representatives from the United States, including Robert Zoellick, who's the current World Trade Representative, and then 8 of the 10 Trade Representatives, Trade Organization Representatives, 7 of the 12 secretaries of state and 9 of the 12 secretaries of defense during that period of 77 to 2008 came from the membership roles of this very small group of people. And Barack Obama surrounded himself with the people. 11 of his initial cabinet members and closest advisors came from the Trilateral Commission, and he surrounded Romney as well. And what you recently saw in the election was simply two people controlled by the Trilateral Commission putting on the semblance of an election. But you see, it really didn't matter. The same group was in control. And that is what our founding fathers feared, that eventually the people would, of course, vote themselves into tyranny. Well, the people didn't vote for the Trilateral Commission. They are a subversive conspiracy that is using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, which is why we have our troops stationed in 130 nations, why we have 800 to 900 foreign military bases, why we need to massively slash our defense force to defend America, but not to dominate the world and install dictators throughout the world and overthrow governments throughout the world, as we've recently done in Egypt, Tunisia, Libya. We're in the process of doing it in Syria. And, of course, this is a prologue to our war with Iran, a war with the mullahs in Iran who were installed by the American CIA back in 1979. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all a great illusion. It's all a great game, smoke and mirrors. The only trouble is an awful lot of people will die, including an awful lot of Americans will die in the coming World War III. With that as a background, let's look at our Constitution. Because if we ever hope to reclaim our Constitution or reclaim our Constitution, we have to understand it. And that's what Pastor David Whitney and the crew at the Institute on the Constitution do. David, pick up the story and go from there.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, quite a day yesterday, but we need to look back at the Constitution and see what Article 2, which is the article of our Constitution that deals with the executive branch, what the qualifications for the president of these United States must be. And we've talked about this before, but I thought it would be useful at this point to review that the qualifications for the president, not just his age, 35 years old and above, not just that he's a resident of the United States for at least 14 years, but that he must be a natural-born citizen. Our founders clearly defined what a natural-born citizen was, and that is both father and mother of this individual had to be United States citizens. If you doubt what I'm saying, I encourage you to go to our website. It's theamericanview.com, theamericanview.com, and there's a video that Herb Titus has done for us that explains and details that, as well as there's a DVD that you can purchase on the importance of the president being a natural-born citizen that shows that's what our founders meant by that phrase, natural-born citizen. Both father and mother must be citizens. Now, how the father and mother became citizens is not relevant. It's just that both father and mother must be citizens in order for their child to be a natural-born citizen, which means Barack Obama does not qualify to be the president, cannot take the oath of office constitutionally in January for a second term. And there's been a number of battles around the country in court attempting to prove by his birth certificate that he was not born here. But I think that's really the wrong direction to be going. The direction is to say he is disqualified from holding office, which means everything that he has signed as legislation that supposedly passed, including Obamacare, which I think is a terrible title to give that because Obama does not care. But anyway, that medical government-run health plan, no, none of that is legal. None of it is lawful because Obama has not legally been the president. What's the remedy? How can we deal with this? Well, there is a provision in our Constitution for how the president is selected that is often neglected in most people's understanding about the presidential election, and that is the Electoral College. Literally, we're not voting for a president back there on Tuesday of this week. We're voting for electors who themselves are going to cast their ballots for the president of these United States. And our founders wisely built this into the structure because they wanted to secure against the possibility of a mobocracy, the mob deciding something that was a disaster, something that was wrong. So the Electoral College, each state selects their electors through their legislature, figures out what that state's system is going to be for selecting those electors. Those electors then cast their ballots in the state and send the results of that vote that they do usually in December, send it on to Congress, and Congress opens those votes in a joint session, both the House and the Senate in a joint session that will be in early in January. Now, at that point, when those votes from the Electoral College are being opened by the joint session of Congress, there's an opportunity for House of Representatives as well as senators to object to the qualifications of the individual who is being voted on by the Electoral College. So, yes, the Electoral College puts forth, here's how we have cast our votes. But the House and the Senate can object and say, wait a minute, we see that there is a qualification issue here with the candidate, and we need to stop the process right here.
Hold that thought, David. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Pastor David Lindsay of the Institute for the Constitution.
Freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker.
I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh, or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Doctor, and here at the American Freedom Network, like this is morning, Pastor David Whitney, talking about our Constitution. The one thing that separates America from all of the other countries in the world, it is the finest document ever written. Many efforts have been made to try to copy it. I did an interview with Lord Monckton the other day, a member of the House of Lords, certainly a former member of the Parliament, European Parliament, and he is truly a British patriot, but he carries with him at all times a copy of the American Constitution, and you should as well. You should understand this. You should understand how it is being certainly circumvented, that a small group of wealthy people certainly controls both political parties, our banking system. There are only six major banks. They control 70% of the wealth of this nation, and they're all tied into the Trilateral Commission. The same with the six major news outlets, directly or indirectly tied into the Trilateral Commission. They control 90 to 95% of all of the major media outlets in America. They control the political parties. They control certainly our educational system. They control and have their tentacles into our churches across America. And by so means, they have gained control of America so they can use our military and financial power to bring about the world government and behind them the powerful spiritual forces reflected in the logo of the Trilateral Commission. Three sixes joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. Because this is truly a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. David, you pick up this story.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Let me just read from the 12th Amendment that details just what I was describing in terms of how the Electoral College functions and how those votes are brought before the Senate and the House in joint session. It says the electors, this is the 12th Amendment, the electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, and they shall transmit their votes, sealed, to the seat of the government of the United States, directed to the President of the Senate. The President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. Now, federal legislation gives us some further details beyond the 12th Amendment, detailing the process for counting those electoral votes in Congress. This is from 3 U.S.C. 15, Section 15, and it directs that Congress shall be in session on the appropriate day to count the electoral votes, with the President of the Senate presiding. It directs that the designated individuals shall open and count and record the electoral votes, and then present the results to the president of the Senate, who shall then, quote, announce the state of the vote. The statute provides a mechanism for objections then to be registered and resolved. So when they are presenting in joint session to Congress, they are presenting the votes from the Electoral College, then there's a mechanism for senators and representatives to object to that vote. And it gives it in this detail. Again, this is from federal legislation, 3 U.S.C. 15, Section 15, and it reads as follows. Every objection shall be made in writing and shall state clearly and concisely and without argument the ground thereof, and shall be signed by at least one senator and one member of the House of Representatives before the same shall be received. When all objections so made shall have been received and read, the Senate shall thereupon withdraw, and such objections shall be submitted to the Senate for its decision. And the Speaker of the House of Representatives shall in like manner submit such objections to the House of Representatives for its decision. So basically, both houses will then separate and deal with the objections that have been raised by at least one senator, at least one representative, and they will vote on whether those objections are valid or not. Now, of course, there's perhaps our biggest problem. Do we have enough in both the House and the Senate to actually do their constitutional duty and determine that it is the Constitution and the values and the limits of the Constitution that say the president must be a natural-born citizen? If someone is elected and the electors have cast their vote for this individual, but he is not naturally born, then he is not to be put forward as the president, in which case Biden, the vice president, would fulfill that role as Article 2 clearly determines. And it goes on to say, and this is the USC legislation, if the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president-elect shall act as president until the president shall have qualified, and the Congress may by law provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice president-elect shall have qualified, declaring who then shall act as president or the manner in which one who is to act shall be elected, and such person shall act accordingly until a president or vice president shall have been qualified. Now, you might say, David, this is an interesting project, but what good would that do us? Would we get a Biden rather than Obama? Well, what good it would do us is this. It would undo everything that Obama has signed for the last 4 years. It would declare, because there have been many attempts in the court of law to prove that Obama is not valid as president because he doesn't meet the standard of natural-born citizen. Each of those attempts in the courts have been turned away. There was one court in Georgia that actually heard all the evidence, that had all the evidence presented to it, and basically the court turned and said, huh, so what? We're not going to prevent Obama from being on the ballot in November. And so every court attempt to accomplish the disqualification of Obama has failed. It appears to me here's the place to accomplish that. And if it was accomplished in the House and the Senate, then the past 4 years of unconstitutional and illegal legislation signed by Obama would all have to be redone. We could basically reset the clock. Yes, they may attempt to do it all over again in the past Obamacare, but what a wonderful thing to create gridlock and mess in Washington, D.C. by challenging the qualifications of Obama, who is not qualified to be the president, challenging those qualifications in the House and in the Senate at the very moment in January where the Electoral College votes are counted. And by the way, that would just be I think it's less than 2 weeks before the inaugural is scheduled to take place. Wouldn't that be a wonderful monkey wrench to throw into the whole works to remind people that we do have a Constitution and its stipulations are the supreme law of the land and are to be obeyed, and it's the duty of every congressman, the duty of every senator to obey them even if they are uncomfortable with them, even if it's not to their liking. It's what they swore an oath to uphold and defend. So we're going to write this up and try to get this out to as many citizens to appeal to their representatives in the House, to appeal to their senators, to see if we might find one or two senators or representatives that would be willing to do this when the Electoral College opens, or the ballots of the Electoral College are open in a joint session of Congress. And I'm hoping this is a project that will stir up some in Washington and for Americans all across our country, stir them up to realize, wait a minute, we do have a supreme law of the land. It's called the United States Constitution. And if it is violated by those who are in office, that does not make it any less the supreme law of the land. It's still the law, even though it's being violated. And if we, the people, do not rise up, understanding it, its provisions, and demand that they obey the law, we can expect only to have our God-given rights trampled upon and tyranny to prevail. Years ago, someone penned three tenets of tyranny, I guess you might call them, or three laws of tyranny. First, that wherever power is held by any individual, the tendency will be towards tyranny. And that is true because all human beings are fallen, as the Word of God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So tyranny will extend, and that's a given that you can expect in any system of government. Wherever power is in anyone's hands, tyranny will extend. The second principle is that tyranny always extends to the limits of resistance. So if there's no resistance to tyranny, if people don't stand up and oppose it, and people don't fight against it, tyranny will just continue to expand until there is no freedom left. There is no protection of your God-given rights remaining. And the third principle, second principle, tyranny will extend to the point of resistance that is raised against it. The third principle is, if I don't stand up and defend my neighbor when tyranny is being foisted upon him, who will be left to do so when tyranny comes to my door? And Martin Niemöller, a pastor in Germany, famously said after he was ultimately incarcerated, you know, when the Nazis began to foment against the trade unionists, well, I wasn't a trade unionist, so I didn't object. Well, when they fomented against the communists, I wasn't a communist, so I didn't protest. And when they came against fellow churchmen, I wasn't one of those particular ones that they were attacking, and so I didn't object. And when they came for me, there was nobody to stand up for me, and I went to prison as well. So we need to remember that, which is why Institute on the Constitution is seeking to teach and train citizens all over this country an American view of law and government that says, first of all, there is a Creator God. Secondly, our rights come from Him. And thirdly, the soul, that is the only purpose of human civil government, is to protect and to secure those God-given rights. Nothing else. That's the only job of government, to protect our God-given rights. And you could add to those 3 points what our Declaration of Independence states very clearly, that when human civil government does not protect our God-given rights, we have a duty, we have an obligation to either reform that government or to abolish that government and establish a civil government that will protect our God-given rights. I've been talking to a number of people just asking them, well, how's our government doing in terms of the Declaration of Independence standard? I mean, Declaration of Independence states that there's three primary areas of our God-given rights that civil government is to protect us on. First, our right to life. After all, if we don't have our right to life, obviously we cannot enjoy any of our other God-given rights. Secondly, the right to liberty. The right that we, if we have not committed a crime, if we have not violated the laws of nature and nature's God, that we are to be free, liberty. The third is our right to property, to own and keep property. And how are we doing? Well, right to life, let's see, 55 million murdered babies? That's not so good on the federal, state, and local level. That murder's going on for the past almost 40 years now. And add to that, how about euthanasia these days? It's the elderly that are the targets of Obamacare with their death panels, where they're going to kill those that they say, it's going to be too expensive to give them the medical treatment that they need to survive. So we just kill them, let them die. So your right to life is no longer protected. It's attacked by federal, state, and local governments. And how about your right to liberty? Dr. Stan, you pointed this out on other shows, that America, shocking as it may seem to most Americans, America has more people incarcerated per capita than any other country in the world. That might shock people. not Cuba that has that communist dictatorship that has more people incarcerated per capita. Oh, it's not China where we don't expect a whole lot of freedom. It's not one of the banana republics. It's not one of the Islamo-fascist dictatorships. It's these United States where more people are incarcerated than any other country in the world. And it's actually
people have to understand that about one in every 33 adults in America is in prison, probation, or parole today. But even more tragic, a one in every three young black men between 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole. And that is largely because we're poisoning the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, and the blacks pick up six times as much lead because of their racial differences with the white as the whites do from drinking water that's been treated with hydrofluorosilicic acid. This is done intentionally, not accidentally. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And the black people have every reason to be up in arms. The only trouble is their leaders are not telling them. We've sent people to contact both Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton on this one specific issue and why the blacks are so prevalent in the prisons. And, of course, no response at all from Jesse or from Al. They're going right along with this whole agenda. Our guest, Pastor David Whitney, and we're talking about the background of certainly of what's going on in America today. As we move away from our Constitution, as a small group of people controls both political parties and makes mockery of the process, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Freedom goes away.
Hi, I'm Bruce Baker. I write songs that give people with conservative values a laugh or maybe bring a tear to their eye. Hopefully, the songs will help people with liberal values to see the light of liberty. Please visit my website at www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker. You can hear full versions of several songs and see my video. There are links to download either iTunes or MP3 versions of the tunes on my new album, Mark's Larks. That's www.myspace.com/Bruce-Baker.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
this morning, Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. David, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute and learn about our Constitution? Because if they don't understand the Constitution, they don't realize that most of what's going on in Washington, D.C. is subversive. Our Congress is passing all sorts of legislation for which they have no right to pass it because, of course, the powers of the central government are limited by our Constitution. Certainly there are certain things Congress can do, most things they cannot do. They're specifically limited from it, and they're doing it anyway. Why? Because they want to get reelected. They want to provide for the people. And, of course, that's what our founding fathers feared, because they knew that a government that could provide for the people would eventually control them. They feared that the people would vote themselves into dictatorship. That's why they established a republic. That's why they established an electoral college. Everything, of course, was to avoid having a situation where the people could vote themselves into tyranny. That's why we had, certainly did not elect our senators. They were elected by the states. But those who wanted to convert America from a republic to a democracy, those who wanted to establish a dictatorship here, and believe me, it started a long time ago, passed the 17th Amendment so that we could have direct election of senators. So now the senators could be bought and sold by the Brotherhood of Darkness. Go right ahead, David. How can people get in touch with the Institute? What will they learn if they do get the material from the Institute? And why is that important for the very survival, not only of America, but of Christian civilization today?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we know that learning our founders' view of law and government and then learning a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights is essential if we're going to restore constitutional government. So we've put together what we call a host kit, a series of 12 lectures on DVD, as well as supplemental materials, reading materials, viewing materials, that in this host kit, a person can take a group of fellow citizens through and accomplish that education of an understanding of the American view of law and government that is based upon God's law, and understanding a working knowledge of the Constitution, Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. And it's easy. We've designed it really so anyone with a basic education could do this. You don't need to have a history background or a law background. Actually, you're better off not having been polluted by the current system that is functioning in an unconstitutional fashion. Rather, starting afresh, you can train yourself, your family, your friends. We have many people doing this in churches, taking their fellow church members and bringing them together to gain an understanding of what our founders' view of law and government truly was and what the words they put on paper actually mean. Not what the courts have misinterpreted them to mean, but what they actually meant according to our founders from their own mouth, from their own lips. What did they say about these documents and what did they say each element of these documents meant? So we encourage people to get a host kit. You could do so by either calling us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. Or you can visit our website. Our website is one word, The American View, theamericanview.com. And you'll see a button right there on the first page, click to get the host kit. And also, by the way, while you're there, you might decide you'd like to take the course online first. And there's an online course that we offer that gives you every bit of material that you would receive in the host kit is there online. So all the video lectures are there online. The student materials are there online, as well as the supplemental, the homework assignments, both the videos and the writings, all of that, and the tests, everything that you get as a student in the host kit is there for the online course. But we encourage people after they complete the online course to get a host kit so they can teach a larger circle of people. We find that the interaction in a classroom setting when people are studying these materials and begin talking about what they read in the paper or what they heard this politician say, all of that fermentation is very, very valuable as citizens coalesce together and realize we can take our country back. I know many people are discouraged as a result of Tuesday. We shouldn't let it discourage us. It's just a symptom of the times. It indicates how far we've come away from our founders' view of law and government, our founders' understanding of the founding documents, that a majority of the Americans want, well, both candidates, in my view, are socialists, but they want a more extreme socialism. They want more theft of personal private property to be redistributed by the centralized government. They want more of that than they want freedom, true liberty and true freedom. That's an indication that we need to reach a wider and larger circle of citizens across our land, and everyone can do this. We've had homemakers who, you know, never taught any course in their life, take the kit and begin and successfully conduct a course leading other citizens to understand these principles that make an enormous difference in how you vote and in how you interact with those who are your elected representatives. So I encourage you to get a host kit. Either call us toll free, 866-730-9796, or go to our website, theamericanview.com. Multitudes of Americans have taken the course already in all 50 states, and thousands are in the process of taking the course right now, and we pray that millions ultimately will take this course, because we have that as the hope for seeing a restoration of liberty. And so my encouragement is, it's a simple thing for anyone to do, and if you won't do it, then don't be surprised when tyranny prevails. If you don't step forward at this point, this dangerous juncture in the history of our country, don't be surprised when tyranny prevails and you lose all of your God-given rights as the tyrant takes away your liberty, the tyrant takes away your property, and ultimately may take away your very life. Well, before the break, we were talking about the liberty issue and our government not living up to the promise of the Declaration that its purpose for existence was to protect our God-given right to liberty. I have a book on my bookshelf written by an attorney, Harvey Silvergate, called Three Felonies a Day, How the Federal Government Targets the Innocent. And a chilling book that details that it's not just those who are already in prison. Our government is targeting every one of us, making every one of us a criminal, because you can't possibly know the raft of legislation, the raft of laws that you're supposed to be obeying, and you might fill out some federal form with a little mistake in it. Oh, that's enough to send you to prison. It's friends that have suffered from that. So every one of us is losing our liberty because the federal government and state and local governments are failing to do what they were instituted by our founders to do. And then the final one, of course, is property. And oh, there's a huge violation of property rights, from eminent domain government theft of property to controlling people's property with Agenda 21 type things that drive people off their land or don't let them use their land. All these things are a theft of property. All these things are a violation for which our government was instituted. And I dare say if our founders were alive today and they look at the level of tyranny that we are suffering under, a level far worse than that they described by King George III in the Declaration of Independence, they would be part of this movement to restore liberty, raise up a body of citizens who understand the basis of liberty, understand God's law, and understand the purpose for which civil governments are instituted among men. And they would be part of the movement that Dr. Stan, you and I have been blessed to be part of at restoring liberty.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, our last segment of our program, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney, the most important thing you can do right now is to learn the Constitution and understand that this little group that controls both political parties has made mockery of the Constitution, that our elected representatives swear to uphold the Constitution when they enter office, and then they systematically violate it, and those people should be certainly taken out of Congress and tried for treason. But, of course, the people who are really behind this within these covert organizations are subversive and should be tried for treason as well. Go right ahead, David.
Well, when we come back to the Constitution itself, we've basically completed our walk through Article 2, which deals with the executive branch and its important role, but its limited role. And that's the other thing we need to recognize, that a demonstration of what's happened in this campaign as well as this election is that our executive branch is way, way out of line. It's completely outside the boundaries created by our Constitution. It was to be a very limited branch in its function. Instead, today, it's essentially we're voting for the king of the world, and actually the rest of the world looks to us because they know. They know from what they have seen by past behavior that whoever occupies the seat of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is going to be the tyrant who rules the world, who commands drones to murder people in Pakistan and Afghanistan, who sends his troops all over to tyrannize other countries to force them to, well, for example, accept the U.S. dollar, force them to have abortions, and on the list goes of tyranny that the rest of the world experiences from that wicked position of the person in the executive branch. And yet our Constitution makes no provisions for such egregious violations of the boundaries established on that function. The executive is not the king of the world. He's not the policeman of the world. He has no powers militarily unless there's a declaration of war, which there hasn't been since World War II. So all the other wars are illegal actions on the part of our executive branch. On and on the list goes. If we were to have people in the voting booths who understood the limits our Constitution places on the executive branch, they would not be putting so much stock in what they hope the president's going to do for them personally. Rather, it would see that he can only do what's constitutionally permitted, that is to execute the constitutionally based laws, that is not execute any other laws, only laws that are completely constitutional. He can only do that. And that's his sole job, unless there's a declaration of war, and only then does he take command over the military. Well, when we come to Article 3 of our U.S. Constitution, just remember one, Article 1 is the legislative, Article 2 is the executive, Article 3 gives us the details regarding the judicial branch. It establishes the courts, judges, and so on, and it says the judicial power vests, that is, it permanently resides in a Supreme Court, and then lower courts as Congress determines. Note here the important distinction. Only court that is required by our Constitution to exist on the federal level is the Supreme Court. All the lower federal courts, the circuit courts and all that, they are creations of Congress, and they can be uncreated by Congress as well as they have been created. So the lower courts are at the beck and call of Congress in terms of their structuring. Congress establishes federal district courts and circuit courts of appeals, and Congress could abolish these or change them or add additional levels that is up to Congress. The courts do not get to determine that themselves. Furthermore, the judges who hold those offices, typically people consider judges are in office for life. In fact, I think the last process of nominations, for example, the Chief Justice Roberts, one of the senators, when they were grilling him, they were saying, well, why we're so concerned about this, that, and the other thing is because once you pass this level, once the Senate signs off on you, you're going to be a judge on the Supreme Court for life. That's not true. That's not what our Constitution says. It says they are judges during, they hold office during good behavior. And our founders knew what they meant by that term. It's detailed in many of their writings. Good behavior means fidelity to the Constitution, fidelity to the Declaration of Independence, fidelity to the Bill of Rights. That is, when they issue their opinion, and by the way, that's the only thing courts make. They don't make law. That's the legislative branch. They only issue opinions. That's what's at the top of every everything issued by the Supreme Court or lower courts. It's their opinion regarding the law. But if their opinions are unconstitutional, if their opinions violate the very purposes and structure of the government created by our founders, then they are no longer exhibiting good behavior, and they are to be removed, and the removal process is by impeachment, just as it is in the executive branch. So we have so many examples of Supreme Court opinions that are unconstitutional. Roe v. Wade. A woman can hire a contract killer and murder the baby in her womb. Completely unconstitutional, complete violation of the preamble of our Constitution that says this Constitution is not just for our generation, but our posterity. The blessings of liberty for our posterity, that is the unborn generation, is in view in the preamble to the Constitution. So how can you murder the unborn generation when the Constitution says it was crafted to be a blessing and protect their God-given rights, our posterity? So that's just one example of many, many, many Supreme Court opinions, particularly from the 1930s on, when the revolution on the Supreme Court was accomplished by FDR. From that point forward, much of what the Supreme Court has issued as its opinions are completely unconstitutional. And they have become, again, because our system has gotten so twisted, they have become the ruling opinions. That is, they're considered more law than statutory law. It's considered that if the Supreme Court rules, then that's the law of the land. That's why people today say, oh, Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. No, it's not. It can't possibly be the law of the land because, first of all, the judges don't make law. It's the judicial branch. So we need to understand this term, good behavior, is not a lifetime appointment to a position on the Supreme Court or any federal court. It is only when they behave in accordance with the limits of our Constitution and issue opinions that are that adhere to our Constitution, when they step outside that bounds, it's the duty of the legislature to very quickly show them that they cannot get away with it, that they are to be impeached if they ever attempt to step outside the bounds and the structure established by our Constitution. So,
David, I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're out of time, but I appreciate what your message and the Institute of the Constitution is doing a great job. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to sign up. You need to get one of the constitutional courses, and you need to teach others. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you next month. Bye-bye.
God bless, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can certainly join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can get the various products we have, and we have 4 tape sets and DVDs and videos and 4 CD sets on almost any subject you want to know about. You can find out by going to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And you want to know about the weather modification, how they can modify the weather. We have a 4 tape set on that, or on harp. Or we have books on harp and weather modification. We have actually 4 DVDs on certainly the process. We have the geoengineering a DVD, Roslyn Peterson, whose website has 40,000 references to government and other university reports, military reports, on how they can modify the weather. But her DVD, Geoengineering, is vitally important if you want to understand the storm we're seeing in the east today and the other storms that have recently devastated that area. And understand that they can create storms. They can steer storms. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. So basically, Geoengineering by Roslyn Peterson. Then we have the DVDs, What in the World Are They Spraying? And then Why in the World Are They Spraying? And finally, Bob Fletcher's excellent DVD, Weather is a Weapon. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Was what happened in New York, the hurricane, was that a man-made? We don't know. We do know that 4 or 5 days before the hurricane hit New York, why we saw pictures on television of this storm and what it was going to do, and they showed us exactly what it was going to do. It was going to just head north, paralleling the coast, and then suddenly make a direct turn to the left. How did they know it was going to make an almost a 90-degree turn to the left and go into New York and New Jersey? You'd think that a storm would just go its own way. But no, they knew exactly what was going to happen 5 days ahead of time. How did they know that? But, of course, we're not privy to anything other than the fact that we know that Zbigniew Brzezinski, writing in his book, Between Two Ages, said in 1970, at the bottom of page 57, as I recall, Between Two Ages, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who created the Trilateral Commission, who was certainly a high official in the Republican Party and the Republican administration of Ronald Reagan, who was the foreign policy advisor for Barack Obama. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is one of the primary movers of the invisible government, wrote that we're going to be able to create storms and droughts and new chronic diseases. And within a few years of the writing that, we suddenly had a new chronic disease. It was called AIDS. That's killed 30 to 40 million people. But then you have to understand the whole function of this elite group is to kill off large segments of the population of the world, because they worship a different god. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my a book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get it. You need to get my latest talk on DVD, Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. It will, and you can get the syllabus with that. It has all the documentation put out by the other side as to what they're planning to do. Please pray for America. Pray for revival on website, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our program 24 hours a day. And until tomorrow at the same time, middle is the new.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
We hold these truths to be self-evident,